was a group of young guys, and they were very skilled at what they did. They were very experienced and very skilled at the trade that they were involved in. And these young guys, they had learned from their fathers, and seen their fathers master the trade, and they had learned from them, and just generations before them had done many of the same things. And these guys, they were very skilled on the sea. They were very skilled in at sea and fishing. And so one day, these guys, as they had done many times before, they decided to make this trip across the sea, across the water. Just another day, hopping in a boat. We got this, we know what we're doing. This is just another day at work, or another day on the water. But this was not another day. They were in for a surprise. The story is actually found, if you haven't noticed just yet, it's actually in Luke 8, 22. You guys can turn there. That's the story of the disciples. And we're going to start in verse 22. It says, one day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let us go across to the other side of the lake. Alright, so they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him? Now read the story, we know the end of the story, right? And so you guys are just like, okay, Jesus is gonna, he's gonna stand up, call the storm, peace be still. For a minute, let's actually place ourselves in the story. You're on the boat, you know what you're doing, you're very confident in your skills, right? And the storm comes up, you're like, okay, we've been there before, no big deal, we've been through many storms, we got this. But this is not an everyday storm. Because you can see in the story, it says, windstorm came down the lake, it was filling with water, and they were in danger. Now this is not 21st century yacht, right? This is not your wakeboard, plush leather seats, plug in your auxiliary cord, turn on the music. No, this is not that, okay? This is like wooden planks, wooden nails tacked together, some sails that are made with some cotton and cloth, and we're out in the middle of the sea. Now I've checked it out, the Sea of Galilee has been known on record, the highest wage on record for 10 feet, about 3 meters. And I don't know about you, but I'm not a super big fan of water. Much less a first century sailboat, and even if I don't care, it's 3 foot waves, right? You don't want to catch this guy in a first century sailboat in 2 or 3 foot waves, I'm not interested, right? And these guys, it's got to be bad. I don't think we can over-exaggerate the story because they're basically saying, we are dying. Now, I want you to think about something you're really, really good at, really, really skilled at. And what would it take you to bring coming to the point of you're like, oh my goodness, I am perishing. This is not something, these guys, they have been there many a time. They've been through many storms, right? This is not their first day on the job. But they come to this point where they are, they say, Master, we're perishing. And I don't know, I just like to imagine the chaos for a minute. I don't know how long it was to actually went to see Jesus, or to find Jesus. But I just imagine like the disciples hollering back and forth at each other, like, Peter! Dude, drop the sail! And he's on the other side. What? Another wave comes pouring in, right? The wind's howling. Like, this is an intense, intense storm, right? Finally, which we never do this, right? We're all way too spiritual for this. But finally, after their efforts are exasperated, they go to Jesus. Right? And this is actually the weirdest part of the story for me. How in the world is Jesus sleeping in a storm like this? Like, it is so strange. Remember, he's not sleeping on some leather, plush seat of some sort. I mean, like, there's only a couple things that I can think of as to why Jesus could still be sleeping in a storm that's raging, where a bunch of experienced fishermen are totally freaking out and saying, Lord, we're God. I mean, did he have too much fish and bread that day? Like, food coma? I'm gonna go, probably not. Like, you see how Peter and John, like, dude, he's like found that stuff? Like, I was afraid we're gonna have it. No, that's probably not the case, right? Maybe he was super fatigued. Maybe he was just fatigued in the day. And I'm gonna say probably not. Maybe there was a reality inside of him that was greater than the storm outside.
Come on. Hey, that's good.
And I believe that's what it is. Why do I believe that? Because he comes out and he says, what does he say? He awoke and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. And the seas, and there was a, I think some of the other books actually say he spoke peace be still. And why did he say that? Why did he say peace be still? And this raging storm came to an end. I believe there's already residing inside of him.
Amen.
And we're always going to release what's inside of us.
Come on.
Whether it's good or bad. Right?
Amen.
There's bitterness, anger, resentment in your heart, guys. It's not going to be hidden. It's going to come out.
Come on.
There's peace, righteousness, and joy on the outside. It's going to be released into the world around us. We don't really get a choice of whether it's going to be released or not. We get the choice we're going to partner with. Oh, no. Right? And so, I think this story displays the power of peace. And really, it begs the question of what really is peace? What really is the biblical meaning of peace? And what is the biblical meaning of peace? Right? I think, unfortunately, in the English language, we have settled for a watered-down version. And that's basically peace means, hey, it's the absence of chaos, where things are in control, things are going well, and it can mean that. But it's so much bigger than that, and I don't think peace is... Bill Johnson has a phrase that I really, really like. He says, peace is not the absence of something. It's the presence of someone. Right? Peace is not, it's not so much about the absence of chaos and all these things. Although it can be that. And so I want to just take a look at what really is the biblical meaning of peace, and it's a huge topic, guys. I'm not going to, like, by no means do it justice tonight, right? I just want to shed some light on it, the importance of it, and also want to give some practical steps of how we actually live in it.
Yeah.
Right? We're just going to talk about it in practical steps. Well, the kingdom is supernatural. Somebody say supernatural.
Supernatural.
But it's also practical. Somebody say practical, right? If we don't have a vision to actually walk things out, it's probably not going to happen. So biblical peace. What is it? or sound, to live well or to be whole on the inside. It has, there's a few nuances to the word, but it can be broken down in a few things. It means wholeness of body or life. Right relationship between people or parties, often established by a covenant. It can mean prosperity, success, and fulfillment. Victory over one's enemies, absence of war. This is really interesting. I actually really love this about the Middle Eastern culture. It's used. The word, the Hebrew word shalom, is actually used in farewells and greetings. And so when you greet someone, you say shalom. It's basically saying health be upon you. You're wishing health and really blessing upon somebody. That's of course, it becomes a ritual, but it's actually extremely powerful. They greet one another with that word and say farewell to one another with that word. And so why is it really important for us to know what peace is? I think it's important because it's a characteristic of the kingdom. Paul told the Romans, he said, hey, the kingdom is not about eating and drinking. It's about what?
Righteousness, peace, and joy.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So peace is actually evidence that the kingdom of heaven is present. And I think it's important because we're in this kingdom. We should probably know when. Yeah, it gives evidence to the kingdom of heaven. And other than that, it's also a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Right? So it gives evidence to the kingdom of heaven at hand, and it also gives evidence of the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys have ever walked into, it could be so many different places, how many of you guys have ever walked into a business room, a business meeting, walked into a church, maybe even tonight you walked in here and you felt a tangible sense of peace? You got to experience that. At church, worship service, business, there's so many places you experience it, right?
Right.
It's tangible sense, it's tangible evidence that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Holy Spirit. I just think this is why it's so important that we just have an understanding of what it really is. It's one of the key words and images for salvation. Colossians 1:19-20 says, peace is a reconciliation of all things to God through the work of Christ. It's multidimensional. It means complete well-being. Physically, psychologically, socially, and spiritually. It flows from all our relationships being put right with God, ourselves, and with others. Here's the cool thing about peace. Peace actually guards our hearts. And that word guard is actually a military term. It's a military term where in the ancient cities in the Bible times, what they would do, they had these thick walls around their cities, right? They had gates, different gates to access into their city. Well, if that gate wasn't being protected, if that gate wasn't being watched, then there was no point, there was no safety or security inside, right? There was no way business or life could happen inside unless you had gatekeepers or guards on the outside. And I love this because peace does that for us. Peace is actually a guard that says, hey, only certain things are allowed in here. Right? We can get so caught up with this out here, right? With life out here, all activities, all things that are happening. And the Lord sees that, and He's in that, but He's much more concerned about this in here.
Oh.
He's much more concerned about what's happening on the inside of us. What's happening to our hearts in the middle of the process, right? And so peace guards our heart. I got a story a couple years ago. A friend of mine was in Greece working at a refugee camp. And to meet a friend of mine, I decided to go visit him. And we got there, and he was telling us about one of the jobs he had for a really extended period of time and how it was not fun. So the refugee camp is a really, really intense place. Some of you guys have been there. Basically, one of the jobs was to guard the rip gate. Why it was called the rip gate, I don't know, but it was called the rip gate. And so this was his job for so long, and he was telling us how day after day, you literally stand there for hours, and there was this chain link fence around this certain part of the property, and it was fenced off because there was important, valuable things inside. It was where the police were there, there was the paperwork happened there, and also some of the women, young women or single moms with children, the high risk people were in this area. And she had to have a certain card or pass to get in and out of this gate. So we get there, my friend's like, tell us about this. He's like, yo, we're gonna be here for 10 or 14 days. It's a very intense job. You're probably not gonna get the job, okay? Don't, like, it's intense. It's not really that fun, but you're probably not gonna get it. Okay, great, awesome. We get an orientation the first night. They're racking off stuff. They look at me, my friend. You guys are going to Rick Gate. Come on, bro. I thought you said we're not gonna need Rick Gate. So anyway, we're there the first night. First night, right? Here we are. And it is, for some reason, the night shift was always more intense, from like 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And you have all these people that want to be in here, and some people for the right reasons, some people for the wrong reasons. And so we're here, they come up to the gate, show your card, okay, they let you in. And some of these guys, what happened is, you would open the gate, and someone else would try to like, literally plow the way into the gate without a card. And so you'd like stand there and block the gate. Well, that worked pretty good for a 3 or 4 foot gate, but occasionally the police or food wanted to come in and they had this big 10 or 12 foot gate. Okay? Well, if you got a bunch of young, high energy, these guys are living on the base, it's actually a very sad place. It's a lot of traumatized people and young guys, they're drunk sometimes, and it's a really, really intense place. And so some of these guys, they want to get into this area for the wrong reasons. So, first night, we're there, guarding this gate. The vehicle comes up and you have double gates. And you got a crowd of probably 20, for whatever reason, not every night was like this, but that night was probably a good 20-something, but 20-plus young people outside this gate, okay? Well, this one guy hit it earlier. He was trying to get in through the small gate, and he saw his chance. I'm going to slip in while the vehicle's coming in, and I'm not going to block him. Now, my friend that was with me loved this guy. He saw this, was aware of it. Very intense guy. When he's determined something's not going to happen, something is going to happen, you better watch out. Love you, Jesse. Because it shows an illustration of guarding. We were allowed certain people in. Certain people didn't have passes and were not allowed to. This is what peace does, guys. This is what peace does to our hearts. We'll actually partner with peace. There are certain things we're not going to allow them. Peace is a characteristic of the kingdom. And Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Right? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. He said the kingdom is what? It's within you. And I believe it's the most valuable and precious thing that we can have. And it's worth guarding, right? It's worth guarding our hearts from bitterness, resentment, and all the other things that would bring destruction to life and vitality on the inside. So peace guards our hearts. And it, one of the other verses that I love this, is that peace passes all understanding. Now, I consider myself to be a fairly critical guy. Like, I want to know, I love vision, I love all that stuff, but at some point, what do we actually have? What are the actual resources? How is this actually going to happen? Are you with me? I got some visionary friends, I love them, I love hearing about them, and all these things. But at some point, we gotta put some boots in the ground and start walking.
Amen.
Are you with me? But I love this verse because it passes all understanding. I love that about peace. So we're gonna take a little bit shorter tonight. We're gonna get into the practical side. So if peace is so important, how do we actually live it in a world that, man, God, is so fast-paced, so many people dealing with anxiety, depression, all these things, right? Just the pressure of life. And I'm telling you, peace is such a valuable, it's such a treasure, guys. The kingdom of heaven, righteousness, peace, and joy, it is such a treasure. I'm realizing that more and more. This is the past season of my life. Just realizing how valuable and really how precious it is. That I can actually experience the kingdom. The kingdom is within me. I can experience righteousness, peace, and joy. And so what's the practical side? How do we actually walk in peace? How do we actually experience peace where it's not just a ethereal thing, but it actually becomes real and tangible? First thing, you guys ready? Someone say practical.
Practical.
Come on, here we go. First one, and here, it's not going to be an exhaustive list, but the first one, we've got to know the source. Amen. Somebody say source.
Source.
Right? We've got to know the source. Why? Why do we need to know the source? We know life has seasons, right? Mountains and valleys. If you don't know the source, and you're in the middle of the valley, you're experiencing pain, sorrow, whatever it is, what's one of the tendencies? If you don't know the source, we're very likely to begin wandering and looking elsewhere. We got to know the source in the valley, and not just in the valley, but also on the mountain, in the midst of emotion and favor and prosperity. Amen. We've got to know the source, guys.
Come on. That's true.
Turn with me to Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. I love these verses. Isaiah verse 9, 6 and 7. Isaiah verse 9, very familiar passages. Verse 6 says, "For it's a prophecy of Jesus Christ. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. and on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Jesus Christ, he is the Prince of Peace. And this is our source, guys, the cross of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice above Jesus shed on the cross, the resurrection. This is our source, guys. And we've got to know where to go to in the middle of the valley when there's questions, when there's pain, when there's sorrow. We've got to know where to go. When you're on the mountain, you're experiencing favor, prosperity, and promotion. You've got to know where to go. Why? Because if we don't know who the source is on the mountain, what's the tendencies that can happen? We become self-reliant, independent. I got here in my own strength. And then a few months later, we crash, and we come back and we're angry with the Lord. Wait, back in a few steps. No, it was never the Lord's fault. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Come on. We got to know the source in the valley. Why? Because if we don't, the tendencies of getting bitter or resentful or feeling jaded in the process. We've got to be able to say, Jesus, I don't understand why. I don't have the question. I don't know the answer. I don't need to know the answers. I just need to know the source. I need to know where to go to. I love mangoes and peaches.
Yes.
I love mango and peach smoothies.
Amen.
Now, not the fake stuff, guys. Come on. Not this juice stuff or this fake junk. But actually, real mangoes and real peaches. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Peaches, mangoes, shakes, whipped cream on top. It's like every time I have one, I can hear my taste buds declaring and shouting, heaven has truly come.
Amen.
Which I say amen.
Yeah.
Anyway, if I love peaches and mangoes, where do I go to?
God.
Expect to find peaches or mangoes in an apple tree. None of us can do that in the physical. I just want to say this. I think maybe some of us in the spirit, we've been living elsewhere. We haven't been going to the source, the Prince of Peace. Maybe some of us have tried. So Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. So apparently there's a peace that comes from Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, and there's also a peace the world offers. Right? He said, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God. And he never really says what the world defines as peace. And some of the things that come to my mind is, maybe it's, and it doesn't have to all be bad things, guys, right? Maybe it's, hey, I'm going to experience peace once my bank account shows a certain number. Uh-huh. I'm going to experience peace once my business grows to a certain size.
Yep.
Once my ministry goes to a certain size, I'm going to have, I'll experience peace. Wow. Once I'm married, I'll experience peace. Once I have kids, once the kids leave the house.
Right on.
On and on and on, right? You can fill in the blanks. Those things are not bad things. Come on. But if we're looking, here's the difference, guys. This is key. If you don't want me to say anything else, I'd like to remember this. They're not the source. And we've got to know where to go to for the source of peace, righteousness.
Amen. Yeah. Come on. Let's pray. Yes.
In the And maybe some of us, we would never do this in the natural. But maybe tonight some of us are actually walking around, stick with me here, walking around an apple orchard expecting to find peaches. Right? And even tonight, the Lord just wants to, just to remind us, no, I'm the source. The cross of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of Jesus. Guys, this is it. If we're looking to be sustained in relationship with the Lord for decades, come on, 40, 50 years, you got to believe in this. Know the source. For the next 50 years, I know where to go to for the source of righteousness, peace, and joy. And I don't have to spend time wandering around. I don't need to waste time wandering around because I know the source. I want to go there in time. I don't always do it right away. Sometimes I do some wandering. Oh, whoops, wait a minute. I'm in an apple orchard looking for peaches. It ain't going to happen. Okay, boom. There it is. There he is, the Prince of Peace.
Yes.
Come on. First one. Need to know the source. Because he is the Chief of Peace. He's the governor, he's a keeper, the ruler of peace. Number two. Isaiah 26:3 says, perfect, this is the Passion Translation, I love this. Perfect, absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you. Another translation says, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on thee. I love this. This is straight from the word, guys.
Hey.
He will keep us in perfect peace. I love the Passion Translation. Those whose imaginations are consumed with you. Those whose imaginations are consumed with Jesus Christ. See, there's something really, really powerful, guys, about your focus. Did you ever notice how much you focus on grows? There's some people that they are always, they just always seem happy and joyful. Something comes along, it's just like, man, they always have this bright, positive perspective on life. And there's other people I know where, man, it doesn't matter how many good things happen, they'll be sure to pick out the next thing. Something about what you focus on, what we focus on. There's something extremely powerful about what you let in here.
That's right.
What you allow your mind to entertain, and what you allow your eyes to take in, is extremely, extremely powerful. What you focus on grows. And the word stay, I love this, the word stayed in Hebrew actually has this, the word picture associated with that is to prop or to lean upon. Is one kind of word picture associated with the word stayed. I used to be a landscaper. I used to plant trees. One of the things to do when you plant a new tree, have you guys ever seen the little stakes? Wire, what's that made for? So the tree goes straight, right? Now I was growing up, we had this monstrous tree in my house. Like I'm talking about 3 or 4 foot diameter, I couldn't even walk through it. This thing had a massive boa. Fortunately, I was away from the house because I was always waiting for it. Now there was no way that tree was going to be straightened out of here. There was no way you're going to try to correct. It was too far gone, right? What would it look like to be a community of people that is simply just a word illustration, too far gone on the character and the goodness of God.
Come on.
What do I mean by that? Simply mean, it doesn't matter, guys, how deep the valley gets or how high the mountain is. Our hearts are set. Our hearts are set. Our minds are set on Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we're not swayed by the things that come along, right? There's going to be mountains, there's going to be valleys throughout life, right? The question is, will we keep our minds stayed on the Prince of Peace? Will your focus remain on the Prince of Peace when your business blows up to the size you want to blow up? Your ministry becomes the size you dream of. You fill in the blanks, whatever it is for you. Will your mind still be fixed and set on the man Jesus Christ? That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. I just find it so much easier than Paul. He encouraged, I think it was in Colossians, which was what it is, he said, set your mind on things above. Why did he say that? Well, how many of you know there's a bunch of other things we set our minds on, right?
Yeah.
There's a ton of other things that we can choose to focus on, to set our minds on, besides the Prince of Peace. I just want to say this, that really, guys, really, we have a choice in this. Really comes down to our choice. We can partner with the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit and say, Jesus, help me to set my eyes on you. Help me to fix my gaze on you. Help me to set my focus on you. Because when I do, there's perfect peace. That's number two. Last one, number three, is allow, Colossians 3:15, allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts. And the question tonight is, what's ruling and governing your heart? What has dominion or authority over your heart? Is it the peace of God? Or is it something else? Do we allow the peace of God to rule, to govern our hearts? To rule and govern our hearts. That's where the place of true peace is. So is the peace of God ruling our hearts? Or are we allowing Him to govern, to have authority and dominion over? Or is it something else? Is there something else that has preeminence? Is there another affection, another thing that has preeminence over your heart, and then ruling and governing your heart? Allow peace to rule your hearts. So number one, let's look at it again. Number one, we need to know the source. You need to know the source. Number two, perfect absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. Keeping our minds stayed on Him. And number three, allowing the peace of God to rule our hearts, to govern and to have authority and dominion over our hearts and over our lives. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart, for from it flow the issues of life. As I mentioned before, we have this incredibly, incredibly valuable treasure, guys. The kingdom of heaven, righteousness, peace, and joy. And here's the thing, we got access. There is access, 24/7 access,
yes,
to this because of the blood of Jesus, right? Because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And some of us, we just need to know this. We need to know there is access to peace. Maybe there's worry, anxiety, depression, nightmares, whatever it is, you just need to know tonight there is access. You have access because of the blood of Jesus, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, there is access today, tonight, to peace, to the Prince of Peace, because of the sacrifice, because of the blood of Jesus. So wrapping along tonight, I just wanted to close with a story. Close with a story. It's you've never heard before. It's actually in happened in the 1860s. There's a guy by the name of Horatio Spafford. He was a rich, successful lawyer in Chicago. And him and his wife, Anna, they were very well known for their relationship with the evangelist, D.L. Moody. Some of you have heard of him. They had a very close relationship with D.L. Moody, a rich, successful lawyer, 1860s in Chicago. However, in the late 60s, early 70s, tragedy began to strike his family. And his 4-year-old son passed away from scarlet fever. And not too long after that, he lost all his investments because of the Great Chicago Fire. And in the midst of this, he decides, some tragedy that happened to his family, he decides they're going to take a break, and they're going to go to, maybe to the UK, in partnership to do, basically take a break, and also partnered with D.L. Moody in one of his evangelistic campaigns. So they decided to do this trip, and last minute before they board the ship, they had a business they came up, they had, basically had to stay back because of it. But he wanted to see his, he sent his wife and his 4 daughters on this on this trip to the UK. He was going to come later. Well, he, in the midst of this trip to the UK, they collided with another, the vessel collided with another ship. In a matter of 12 minutes, the boat sank and took the lives of 200 plus people. And his wife, the last memory she had, she was bravely standing on the deck, her 4 daughters clinging to her. The last memory she had was the force of the water taking away the youngest daughter out of her hands. And she was miraculously saved by a plank of wood, a piece of wood, basically. It was a floating plank of wood. Was basically propped her unconscious. She's unconscious. Propped her body up, propped her head up. And he gets his back then, it would have been a phone call in the day. When they communicated, 9 days later, he gets this telegram, thank you for the word. It's his telegram, saved alone. And so she lost his 4 daughters in the shipwreck. And so he decides to go visit his wife in the UK. And as he is passing over the place that had claimed the lives of his daughters, he wrote the song as well, my soul. Many of us know that song. It's being sung, you know, over a century later, 100 years as well, my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my soul, right? Those sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And I share that story because it displays the power of peace. And I believe there's no way you can go through a process like that and write a song like that unless you know the source. I mean, I was just thinking of all the times that man had to choose despite the pain, despite the sorrow. He guarded his heart and wrote a powerful, powerful song that will still sing in generations later. And I don't think you can do that unless you choose to keep your mind stayed on the Prince of Peace. Right? I just try to imagine all the times this man chose, come on somebody,
yeah.
A conscious choice. Man, I could get bitter right now of all the things. I mean, he had every reason, right? Lost his four daughters, lost his son, lost all his investments, almost lost his wife. Every reason to come back and be bitter and resentful. You know, I just imagine this, and this just brings so much hope. All the times that he consciously chose to keep his mind set on the Prince of Peace.
That's right.
Whatever it was, hundreds, maybe thousands of times, he made that choice. To keep his mind stayed on the Prince of Peace. And I don't think you do something like that unless you allow the peace of God to have dominion and authority over your heart. I just want to emphasize that tonight too, guys, that there is access. Maybe some of us have been, man, we've just been, whether we're aware of it or not, maybe that I was sharing tonight, man, I've been looking at other sources. I've been walking around an apple orchard expecting to find peaches. We would never do it the natural, right? Maybe some of us have gone to the spiritual. It's not condemnation, not shame, it's repenting, right? It's just saying, Lord, okay, I changed my mind. I'm changing the way I think. This is not the right place to go for the source of peace, right? And maybe some of us, we just need to make another choice. Choose again to keep our minds stayed on Him. And to actually begin to guard what we allow Him. Allow our eyes to behold. Allow our minds to entertain.
That's right.
Right? And this is not some striving thing, it's a partnership with the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Saying, God, I really do want to guard my heart. And I really do want to make a conscious choice. And be mindful of what I allow in. Why? Because I have this incredibly valuable, precious gift on the inside.
That's right.
And it's the kingdom of heaven. And it's peace, righteousness, and joy. And that means everything to me. Right? Because this is something that so many of the things we have, guys, can be taken in an instant, right? So many of the material things we have can be taken in an instant. This is something that can never be taken. The kingdom within us. 40, 50 years, their whole lives. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to close with that. Why don't we stand? And we're just going to take a minute. Maybe this is new for you, all of you. We're just going to take a minute and allow you just out of the chair and just feel the tangible sense and just a piece of the brain. We're just going to take a minute just to be still and really allow the Lord just to permeate our hearts again with peace. So if you want to close your eyes again, you don't have to. We're just going to take a minute and be still. Acknowledge the Prince of Peace. There's things you just need to bring realignment to. There's things you just like, Lord, I was setting my focus was fixed on other things. But tonight, I repent, and I'm choosing to focus on You. You need to allow something else to rule your heart. You're saying, Jesus, I want it to be You. So Father, I pray You right now, Prince of Peace. Lord, I ask You to fill this place, fill our hearts with a tangible sense of your presence, a tangible sense of your peace, Jesus. There's areas we've been setting our focus on, God. Setting our affections on those other things, Jesus. That you would bring alignment tonight, God. We just repent for focusing, turning our eyes away from you, Jesus. We choose tonight again, God, to set our eyes on you. We want your peace to rule, to govern, to have authority over our hearts, God. Take this opportunity, if you guys just keep your eyes closed for a minute. Yeah, if there's anybody here tonight, and you're saying, I actually don't know the Prince of Peace, I've never had a relationship with the Prince of Peace, but I don't want to leave tonight without that. I don't want to leave tonight without having a personal relationship with the Prince of Peace. If there may be nobody, but I want the opportunity, if that's you, would just be so bold to raise your hand. If you're saying, hey, I want this, I want a personal relationship with the Prince of Peace. Just gonna wait for a few 10 seconds or so. If that's you, someone to raise your hand. If there's nobody, it's still the bond as well. You can be seated. So real. So tangible, right?
Yeah.
Just take a minute. It's that simple.